Today, I'm going to talk about the down compatible supersymmetric tubes constructed recently from latest model constellation. The scope is the HAPS paper in collaboration with Kay Lee at KIAS. So the outline of this talk is first I'd like to give a short introduction and give some motivations of this talk, and then I will construct non-compatible supersymmetric tubes from matrix model Lagrangian, and then I will describe what would going to be the wall volume gauge theory on the tubular brains, and then I will discuss world volume excitation such as non-compatible solitons on the tube, and also I like to generalize the solution to the multi-tube supersymmetric solutions. Probably I don't need this introduction because you heard all this about just an hour ago. For the sake of for the sake of argument, I'd like first to say about dielectric effect for the deep brains in the supergravity aurora field strength background. And so here lower dimensional deep brains can be polarized by the background aurora gauge field into some extended object like as we heard, I mean like 4G sphere. So the example here is the this we heard in detail, the collection of digital brains in four-form field strength background can form a spherical D2, D0 bound state. And so the world volume gauge theory in this case would correspond to the a gauge theory on a 4G sphere defined by the non-commutative algebra. The question we'd like to ask in this talk is that, for example, I mean, do we have a curved blown-up configuration of D brains that is self-sustained by its world volume gauge field? So it's not by the external aural field strength, but by the world volume gauge field itself. And there are such examples recently constructed, and it is called the supersymmetric tubes constructed by Matthews and Townsend. And the configuration is this kind of tubular configuration, cylindrical configuration embedded in nine spatial dimensions. And in each world volume, there are this world volume gauge field in the direction of axis, and also there are magnetic field on the constant magnetic field on the tubular world volume, and so the pointing vector is non-vanishing, and so to draw angular momentum around the x3 axis here. And so this kind of configuration is supported by the non-vanishing angular momentum, basically. And this kind of configuration is realized in Bohn-Imfeld theory description of the two brains with background world volume gauge field. And it is found that the configuration is quarter VPS. Namely, it describes the configuration preserves 8 supersymmetries out of a total 32 supersymmetries. So the configuration is stable. So here are a little bit more details on the Bohn-Imfeld theory description of this tubular brains. And so we take the two brain action, which is the one everybody knows. And here we parameterize the target space metric as low and using the angular coordinates. And so we are working in this 3+1 dimensional target space. And the transverse 6 dimension doesn't play much role here. And also, world volume coordinate can be parameterized by T and Z and theta. Theta is the compact, describing the compact circle. And so if one chooses a static gauge choice and introduce further the world volume gauge field, which is electric field is in the G direction, and then there are magnetic field. Then one can compute what the Lagrangian here is, and then one can identify the Hamiltonian. Then Hamiltonian appears in this manner, where phi is the conjugate momenta to the electric field. And so this is a displacement. So this Hamiltonian can be organized into complete squared form in this manner. And so the Hamiltonian, one can find that Hamiltonian is bounded from below by the conserved quantities. And so one can find the first order BPS equation that just says that the radius is determined by the displacement times the magnetic field introduced. So this is the tubular configuration found by Matthews and Townsend. So what I like to ask is can we realize these supersymmetric tubes out of a matrix theory description? If one can realize supersymmetric tubes out of matrix theory description, for example, one can easily generalize the solution to the many tube configurations. And also one can study in detail what would be the world volume gauge theories and also solitonic excitations. So the framework I'm going to work in will be matrix model Lagrangian with the kinetic and potential, standard kinetic and potential terms. And formulaic part won't gonna play much role, it will play a role, but in the counting the remaining supersymmetries. So here IJ runs from 1 to 2,9, and this Lagrangian, if we consider n by n case, And by N matrix case, then it will describe N D0 brains. So first, we'd like to turn on the first three components of the scalar field. And so we will call it as X and Y and Z. And also the Gauss law that dictates the what would be the physical configuration. And so Gauss law, I write down here with just 1, 2, 3 coordinates. So one may organize the Hamiltonian in the complete square form. So one can see here kinetic term and the potential term squared. And so this is if we have just if we don't have the cross term, then that would be just the original form of the Hamiltonian. And it can be organized this a complete scaled form with purely commutator terms in this manner, trace of commutator terms, and that. So this commutator term by the local deformation of the matrix, it wouldn't change. So this is a automatically conserved quantity. Thank you. So the Hamiltonian, we can see easily that it is bounded from below by the conserved quantity. And so since this is a complete scaled form, we can read what the BPS equation that gives the saturation of the bound here. And so the BPS set of BPS equation is just a... just putting all these terms to zero, and so we have a set of BPS equation here, and all together with the Gauss law constraint. So to simplify this BPS equations, we choose this A0 to Z gauge. We choose this gauge. And then it says simply that all the configurations are simply static. So this is this says that all the configuration is time independent. And so we left with this and the Gauss law constraint. So this is the BPS reduced the BPS equation we're going to work with. So at this level, we can count the supersymmetries. So there are 32 supersymmetries, and the 16 supersymmetries are already broken by the presence of the D0 brains, and the remaining Gaussian variation. Remaining supersymmetries can be counted by the Gaussian variations. And so one can easily work out further half is breakdown, and so the only 8 supersymmetries are remain. And so the configuration would describe non-trivial configuration constructed in this manner would describe a quarter BPS state. So in order to, we're not going to solve this BPS equation in a most generic way, but we are particularly interested in the solution defined by a kind of realgebra defined here. And so this is the same as the first BPS equation. And also, if we use this BPS equation together with this, then second BPS equation, the Gauss-Law constraint is automatically satisfied. And so once you have solution defined by this set of Lie algebra, then would be the configuration we are interested in. And here L is the dimensionable length, and it would describe the non-commutativity on the world volume gauge theory. And so to solve this equation, we introduce x plus minus, which is a combination of x and y, and then one finds the algebra is organized in this manner, and x minus and x plus, of course, commute. And so one can find the Casimir operator, which is just x minus multiplied by x plus. And so this already says that the radius defined by x squared plus y squared is a constant. And so it already says that we are dealing with cylindrical configurations. And one can work out the reducible representation of this algebra. And here n is not the one newly introduced, but it is the cat factor to represent the original matrix model n by n matrix. And so the irreducible representation says that G is discrete diagonal in the diagonalized by the cat factors, and it is discrete by the length scale L, and X plus is a shift operator with the constant rho. And so this is the irreducible representation one can find. So as I said before, a rho is describing the radius of the tube, and L corresponds to the discreteness of in the G direction. That is also responsible. That would also describe the world volume non-commutativity. So the the pictorial representation of the solution is as follows. This configuration, of course, describes the non-commutative tubular configurations with the radius rho. And G direction is kind of the cyclic direction, and one can compute the central charge. Then central charge is one can find that the central charge is constant in the G direction, and also one can find the angular momentum that is defined by the original matrix model Lagrangian, and angular momentum is proportional to the central charge. So the system carries non-menacing angular momentum densities that is uniform in the G direction. And here I like to figure out what would be the charge or dipole moment of this D the two brain configurations. And so, well, this is actually what you see in the previous lecture by Meyer. And here, of course, we don't have, since we are starting from the zero brain action, so if we see the transimenton, then F twiddle and B twiddle, we don't have these two terms. Because effectively, the world volume gauge field is generated by these commutators. And so without this, we can expand the transimen action in this manner. Then, of course, we have D0 brain charges because we are beginning with D0 brains. And this term, phi is the coordinate xi, x. And so they are traceless, and so this term is vanishing. And also the commutator term produce x and y in the algebra, and so this term is also traceless, and so there is no T2 brain charges. But this term is non-vanishing, and so one can compute what it this term, and one find that there are dipole moments responding to the four-form field strengths, and so the dipole moments would be the two brain tension times the length scale, that is the radius of the tube. So this is the dipole moment produced by the configuration. That, of course, I mean, matches with the intuition we have for the configurations. So to study world volume gauge theories, I'm going to realize first the star product realization of the algebra defined by the sort of Lie algebra. Introduce angular coordinate set ahead, angular coordinate operator set ahead by this definition. Of course, we imagine that set ahead is defined on the on the circle, but exponential of this angular coordinate would be well defined, and that is nothing but the x plus and x minus. So. Since x plus acting on in this manner, and so one can compute easily the commutator of this guy, then it simply says roughly that theta hat and z hat is non-commutative. So one can find that world volume is non-commutative. Of course, I mean the precise relation is given by this one, in this way, we can understand why the spectrum of a coordinate G is discrete. That is, it is sort of a momentum conjugate to the set ahead that is defined on the compact space. And so that's why the spectrum of G hat is discrete. And then to map to the to map the operator to the ordinary functions, first we consider the the functions defined by the Fourier components. Fourier components with the exponential. And then one can work out that this matrix model, matrix component is one-to-one with this Fourier component by this mapping. Well, this one can work out easily. Then we observe these exponential factors are organized single exponential with the phase factors. So if we try to map these operators to the ordinary function, then this corresponding star product can be realized by this infinite number of derivatives. So this is the corresponding star product in the function in the function language. So, in general, once we realize the star product in the exponential factors, then we can realize it, generalize it to the arbitrary functions by this manner. So this is the almost the same as the star product defined on the non-commutative plane. But here we have, of course, the coordinate set is compact. And also, one can compute world volume magnetic field, the background magnetic field that is world volume magnetic field from the original matrix Lagrangian. And one finds that the magnetic field is proportional to L and rho, and the electric field one can compute also. If we see the non-vanishing component of electric component, then it would look like it is pointing in the in this theta direction, but there is a twist by the non-commutativity, and so it is actually pointing in the G direction. This is well known in case of non-commutative gauge theory on non-commutative plane. So the what the world volume gauge theory look like. First of all, draw a constant background world volume magnetic and electric field exist. So one would naively expect that world volume gauge theory would be described by the space-time non-commutativity, but since we have original matrix model, and so we can work out what the world volume gauge theory is out of original matrix model Lagrangian, and in fact what we find is that world volume gauge theory is described with only spatial non-commutativity, but there is of course there is a difference from the standard Liang-Miller-Lagrangian, constant electric field in the world volume, on the world volume. So to study world volume gauge theory, let us first turn on scalar in the transverse directions, say x4 direction, and turn on this component. Then from the original matrix model Lagrangian, one can find that the governing equation is given by this one. Then in the functional language, a commutator of G produces the derivative on zeta, and also a combination of XY commutator produces derivative on G, and so one can find that the in the functional language the scalar field equation is simply a Laplacian on the sphere with a little twist by the presence of the electric field. But of course, I mean, this I use here some approximation. But one can work out, without approximation, one can work out what would going to be the solution without any approximation. And here, to kill the effect of electric field, I introduce this phase. Then one can find the equation for the matrix components is given by sort of a wave equation, and so this part is the Laplace equation, and so this corresponds to the angular derivative squared, and this corresponds to the derivative in the g direction squared, and so this is a sort of a Laplace equation on the non-commutative tubes. And one can find that actually the most general solutions exactly here, and especially I mean if we see the spectrum here, then one can find that this kind of band structure appears. This is because the in the g direction there are these discrete natures in the g direction, and so that's why we have this kind of band structure in the spectrum. And similarly, one can work out what would going to be the gauge theory plus, there is no clear distinction between the low directional, the radial directional scalar fluctuations, and so gauge theory is combined with radial directional fluctuations, and so one can work out what would be the gauge theories in the XYG space. And so for this, for example, we can proceed similarly. So one can set G with the background times the fluctuation. This is same as in case of a non-commutative plane, where, for example, I mean background configuration produces the derivatives, and this corresponds to the gauge field with epsilon ij twist. So. Well, as in the case of non-commutative plane, we can define a fluctuation a zeta by this way, and also one can introduce a fluctuation a g and a radial directional scalar fluctuations. Then one can work out in the leading order in non-commutative scale what the gauge theory. Look like, and indeed it is described by a non-commutative U1 gauge series with standard Young-Milton, but there is a contribution from the background electric field again. But one can work out. So the gauge theory is, in fact, U1 gauge theory on a cylinder with, in the XYZ space, there are one adjoint scalar describing the transverse radial fluctuations of the tube together with the six adjoint scalar in the transverse directions. So next, I'm going to describe the other excitations on the world volume of this supersymmetric tubes. And so first one I like to describe is the solitonic excitations from the viewpoint of a world volume gauge theory. And so this solitonic excitation would correspond to the assembled, well, the zero brains on the world volume. So get back to the original BPS, not original BPS equation, the original set of Lie algebra here. So once this Lie algebra is satisfied, then it's of course the solution. Then to find this tube D0 systems, we introduce a shift operator SM defined in this manner. And so S dagger S is correspond to the identity. And so this is almost look like, I mean, the unitary transformation, but the other combination doesn't produce, and it produces simply the projection operators that amount that produce the identity on the space 0 to 0, 1 to m minus 1, and m gonna be the number of solitons in the system. Then if we multiply this S to the original algebra, then the one inside is simply identity, and so the original algebra would obey. And so the solution, this is the original solution, and the new solution generated by this S and shift, S adjoint of X S produce a new solution. And here if one like one can particularly choose SM like from minus 1 to minus infinity, it remains the identity, and from 0 to infinity one can shift by m unit of unit of m. And so this is the shift operator, one example of a shift operator. But of course, I mean, due to the gauge symmetry this is a particular choice. And the most general solution actually corresponding to the MD0 brain solution that is consistent with the BPS equation is putting this kind of zero mode we can put. So this is a diagonal in the D0 brain space. And so the component of lambda real this should be real because it is diagonal, and so this these numbers would describe the zero mode of this non-commutative solitons. So the moduli space corresponding to this digital brain solution would be nine times the number of non-commutative solitons. So for example, if we set all the moduli coordinates to zero, then it would correspond to the digital brain sitting at the origin of the origin of the whole space. And as I said before, there are 9 times m moduli parameters. And so this is the moduli space, at least classically. And also, what I like to say is that this digital D2 configuration is actually still preserving 8 supersymmetries out of 32 supersymmetries. So this is not well. So this situation is different from, for example, for the case of BPS monopoles in N equal 4 super Young Mill theory, where original gauge theory has 16 supersymmetries, but monopole has only 8, preserving 8 supersymmetries. Here, the configuration, solitonic configuration, has the same. Same supersymmetries of the underlying gauge theories. And of course, the interaction between digital brain and non-commutative solitons to the tubular configuration is of course described by the world volume gauge theories. At first sight, the digital brain seems flying off the world volume. But anyway, the interactions are described by original world volume gauge theory. And
I had a question. Is this the same as just taking a block diagonal configuration from the start, where I had some infinite block corresponding to your original tube and adding some extra finite piece corresponding to a diagonal finite piece corresponding to some extra zero brains?
Or, well, one may think in that way.
Or I'm just asking, is it the same or is this...
The configuration is the same, but if we view from the world volume gauge theory viewpoint, then the interaction between digital brain to the tube is well organized in this manner. But the configuration one may think of in that way, just leave the And finally, I like to generalize the construction of the non-commutative supersymmetric tube to the case of multiple tubes. So the P will describe the number of tubes. Then I can arrange the original Hilbert space of the zero brains like P copy of the original one, labeled by number A. And then for each copy, I give a different radius. I can give different radius and different position even, and also a different non-commutative scale. So and one can plug in this to the real algebra, then one can find that this again satisfies the BPS equations, and so this is the configuration which preserves 8 supersymmetries again for out of 32 supersymmetries, and so this kind of configuration is again stable configuration. So there are no forces between these tubular configurations, at least classically. And also, if we consider coaxial multi-tube configuration with the same non-commutativity, then the world volume gauge theory is described by UP non-commutative Young-Mill theories. So, well, this is the conclusion of my talk. And so, for example, I just consider the real-algebra type, specific real-algebra type solution of the BPS equation. And so it is not clear yet what the full general solution of the BPS equation we have. And also, well, for example, I meant to study the digital brain interaction between digital brain to the tubes. One can study, one can take different viewpoints, well, different approach of this well-known Walsh conformal field theory, conformal field theory approach, and the well, the comparison of the spectrum and interaction would be quite interesting. And also, there are recently corresponding super orbit solutions found. And also, there are by the T-duality consideration, one can find also super D helix solution that is the T-dual version of the non-computable supersymmetric tube. And I think this this will be the subject of next talk. And also, finally, I mean, one may ask, for example, this kind of configuration. This is not a string diagram, but Y-shape tubular configuration is possible or not is one interesting question I have in mind. Okay. That's all.
Questions?
Yeah, according to the new formula, there is no restriction to the radius.
Yes, but it is given by the well. Once we set the angular momentum or the what is that the central charge, then that those quantities are conserved quantities in our formulation. And so, once we fix the those conserved quantities, then angular momentum is automatically, well, the radius is automatically fixed.
These tubes are infinite length?
Yes.
So
yeah, well, we are considering infinite number of these zero planes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fact that there are eight supersymmetries left, it means that there's no central charge associated with the tube? Could you interpret that as having no...
Well, this, are you talking about the two brain charges? The two brain charges, as I said, as I computed, it is zero. There are only dipole moments.
But there's a fundamental string charge, right?
Yeah. Because there are electric fields, and so there are fundamental string charges in the G direction. Yeah, that I should have said.
Okay, no questions? Okay, thanks.